This is a story, a serial story, which paints a background to Scotland's past, from its prehistoric beginnings almost till the present day. It's a colourful epic which traces the struggles of a nation, interwoven with the turbulent lives of its kings and heroes, its enemies and oppressors, the sufferings of its people in defeat, and their freedom and victory. And after the eventual, inevitable union with England, the struggle to preserve its identity. So let's begin with our saga of Scotland. And like all good stories, this one begins once upon a time.
Once upon a time, some 9,000 years ago, long before the Scotsmen came to this northern part of Britain, it was a wild and uninhabited place. Since that time, the area we now call Scotland has built up by a series of immigrations, the people creating communities and establishing their customs. Centuries later, another wave of immigrants would arrive, and so on. So it seems that the first people to arrive in this northern, uninhabited part of Britain appeared around about 7,000 BC. 7,000 years before Christ, wandering savages came from the more southern parts of Britain. They were hunters, they lived from day to day, and they moved around as their food needs dictated. The first human beings in the area now known as Scotland. The second main immigration occurred about 4,000 BC. These folk could be loosely described as farmers, in the sense that they seemed to raise animals, but not to grow crops. They brought with them distinct burial customs. On the western side of Scotland, they built tombs with chambers in them, whereas on the east, they tended to bury the dead in groups, covered with large mounds of earth, which became known as barrows. The third main influx occurred around about 2000 BC, the so-called Beaker people, because of their characteristic pottery drinking vessels, and it was they who constructed henges, the circles of standing stones seen around the country. Their method of burial was to use single stone-lined graves, but as cultures mixed, it seems that they also adopted a more communal form. Now these Beaker folk were a nomadic race who had originated perhaps in the area we now know as Asia, and gradually they'd wandered across Europe and into Britain. There seems to have been no great change then for about 1,000 years, until around about 500 BC saw the arrival of the Celts. Now it appears the Celts originated in the Middle to Far East, and again, gradually over hundreds, thousands of years, they spread further and further, and eventually reached these islands. So Celtic origins can be found down in Cornwall, in Wales, up in Scotland. Others went on across the sea into Ireland. There are all sorts of remains which show a huge immigration which built up Celtic Scotland from the prehistoric period to see the arrival and the final departure of the Romans and the beginnings of Christianity. By the time we reach the year 0, BC, AD, up in the north we have a distinction between two principal Celtic peoples. If we were to draw a line between Edinburgh and Glasgow, between the Forth and the Clyde, north of that line were a people known as the Picts, speaking the Pictish version of the Celtic language, whereas south of that line were the Britons, speaking their version. Now, if for a few moments we jump forward to the time of Bonnie Prince Charlie in the mid-1700s, when he was defeated by the English up in Scotland, the English began to lay waste to the Highlands, to pursue a policy they called pacification. And the Scots very bitterly said, "They make a desert, and they call it peace." But that wasn't an original statement. That was recalling a remark made over 1,000 years before by a Pictish chieftain called Calgacus, who was speaking about the Romans campaigning up in the land then known as Alba. Now Calgacus was killed, but the Picts continued to resist. And they fought hard over several generations to keep the Romans from advancing. And it's true to say, they never did conquer the area now called Scotland. Finally, the Romans withdrew for service elsewhere, and this left the Picts free at last. And by now, they were a very aggressive people. And they turned that aggression into raids down into the south. The Romans built two walls across Britain. One was Hadrian's Wall, stretching from Newcastle on one side of the country, on the east, across to the Solway Firth on the west. Less well known was the Antonine Wall, built some 20 years later, built almost between Edinburgh and Glasgow, between the Forth and the Clyde. But nevertheless, by the end of the second century, the Picts were leading great raids south, pouring over Hadrian's Wall, bringing death and destruction with them. And it was causing so much of a problem that the Emperor Severus decided in the year 209 that the Picts had to be dealt with. He set off northwards with a huge force, which almost certainly would have exterminated the Picts completely. But Severus died on the way, and the expedition was called off. The Romans decided to end their occupation between the walls and instead institute a system of strong patrols, enlisting the help of the local tribes of Britons and their chieftains to keep control. And as a result, the Pictish raids over Hadrian's Wall ceased, giving peace for a period of 90 years. And then, finally, at the end of the 4th century, these patrols were withdrawn and the entire responsibility for keeping out the Picts was given to the native Celtic rulers of the Britons. Well, that's four main immigrations that have come into Scotland. The fifth was the arrival of the Scots, and they came from Ireland. But more about that in the next episode.